Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wilders and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
Welcome to Perpetual Pain in the Ass.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns.
Welcome to the coolest show on earth. Welcome to Perpetual Traffic. I've got Molly, Ralph, and myself, Keith, on today's show, and we're excited to get even deeper into really one of the most important factors to running any successful traffic campaign. Okay, on the last episode, episode number 7, if you haven't had a chance to listen to that, please go back and listen to that as soon as you get a chance, okay? We actually gave you some homework at the very end of that episode that will help you really be able to take action with the stuff we're going to talk about today, okay? Now, you're still going to be able to get a lot out of today's lesson, even if you haven't listened to episode number 7, but I really strongly suggest you go back and listen to it right after this. And if you've got the time on your hands right now, you know, just go back and listen to it right now. As for today's topic, I'm going to shoot a question right over to you, Molly. Molly, with your over 13,000 members inside of DM Labs, what is like one of the biggest mistakes that you see people make when it comes to their traffic campaigns?
The biggest mistake that we see is targeting mistakes. So people, you know, really putting their ads in front of the wrong audience. In the last episode, we talked a lot about which traffic platform should you be using, right? So that's step one. Make sure that you're using the right kind of traffic platform for your specific needs and make sure you're on the right platform based off of, you know, where your market's hanging out. Well, now we really want to talk about, you know, how do you target on the actual ad platforms? How do you get in front of your specific audience? Because again, you know, like we've said throughout all of the episodes here on the podcast, if you're not putting your message in front of the right people, in front of really the most avid part of your market, your campaign isn't going to perform as well as it could, and you're not going to generate those leads and sales and really build the relationship with customers who could be your best customers, your brand evangelists.
And what we're going to be covering also is, I think, some really common questions out there. People really wonder about, like, how big my audience should be, how many interests, all those types of things we're actually going to really hit on in today's discussion.
And as we talk about this, always relate it back to your business, right? So this isn't the gospel. If we give you a specific audience size, definitely try to shoot for that. But if you're, you know, the hair salon down the street, you're not going to be able to reach a million people if your town only has 5,000, right? So make sure you're, you know, putting all of this into context in terms of how it would work for your business. But really the name of the game is, how do we get in front of the best part of your market and people that are really going to buy?
I think there's no hard and fast rules here too. I mean, I think with every type of customer and every type of offer or blog post or whatever it happens to be, there's always going to be exceptions to the rule. And I think it's really you as the business owner have to get to know who your ideal customer is. And sometimes that customer actually has lots of different interests. And I think, you know, in episodes 4 through 6 with Betty Rocker, I mean, she had 3 or 4 or 5 different avatars and targeted them. Some did better than others. And I think you've got to realize that, especially when you're starting on social platforms and interruption marketing, like a platform like Facebook, that sometimes when you choose interests, I think the way that Molly chooses interests and the way that we actually do interests for clients is slightly different. So I think it'll give you a cross-section of what you should do as a business owner is really different. And oftentimes you'll pick the wrong interest and your ads will fail. And I mean, we always say this, we fail typically about 1 out of 5 times, 8 out of 10 times with our interest targeting, but we fail fast.
Yeah, same here.
Pause everything when we realize it's just tanking, and then take our successes and then build on those. And then we continue to build out our campaign based around who that ideal avatar is and what their interests are.
All right, so let's revisit the homework that we gave you back on episode 7. Okay, we asked you a few questions. I'm going to go ahead and just go right through them again. Number one, start to think about things like, who are the authority figures, thought leaders, or big brands in your niche? Okay, what books, magazines, newspapers does your ideal customer read? What TV shows, what movies do they watch? What websites do they visit? Where do they live? And how old are they? Demographic data. Okay, what kinds of products do people like to buy? And what are some, think about like some common beliefs, opinions, passions, activities, groups people belong to that you might have, all of your customers might have in common. So maybe you have 70 or 80% of your customers are conservatives or are Christians or something like that. Those types of things. What kind of common interests do a majority of your target interests or do a majority of your customers have in common?
Right. And just to reiterate, the answers to these questions, this is really the most important part of setting up your ad campaign. So the more that you can get to know your audience and the more that you can sort of even become them in a sense, the better your campaigns are going to perform, because you're going to know exactly where these people are hanging out. So we do use, these lists of questions, which we'll put in the show notes at digitalmarketer.com/podcast. You can use the actual checklist of questions that we answer when we're moving into a new market, or we're sort of trying to figure out who this person is. So for example, we really decided we wanted to roll out some offers around blogging. So we wanted to hit people who were interested in blogging. Maybe they already had a blog, but ultimately we wanted them to buy products that would teach them how to blog. So like we talked about in the last episode, there are a few ways to really, figure out the answers to these questions. So you either are this person. So, a lot of people have created a business around a specific passion or, something that they're good at. So if you are that person, then great. You're light years ahead of most people. You can probably answer most of these questions because you are that person, and you probably have Facebook and you can go, check out what do I like on Facebook, right? But a lot of us aren't the person that we're trying to target, and that's okay. And that's where either an interview or some type of research comes into play. So interviews are great. If you know someone who is that person, call them, email them, ask them these questions. For example, back to the blogging market, whenever we were ready to roll out this lead magnet, 212 blog post ideas, this was about 1.5 years ago. I was trying to figure out, where are these people hanging out? What do they like? What events do they attend? So I called our editorial director. He's been blogging and been in content marketing for many years. His name is Russ Henneberry. And I said, hey, Russ, I need your help. Can you please answer these questions? And again, the questions, some of the questions are going to be more important or less important depending on the market. So for blogging, for example, what software and tools do they use? That was really important for me to know. Russ is rattling off all of these different blogging softwares that I had never heard of and would have never thought to target. Everything down to even social media tools like Hootsuite, because he was thinking if you're blogging and you're producing content, then you need to distribute that on social media. So, you know, the tools and the software and even the events and really the authority figures, pro blogger, copy blogger, thinking about where these people are hanging out online were much more important than really where do they live or even, you know, what their gender or age might be, because that just wasn't as important here in this market. It's done online.
Those of you that want to learn all those things about blogging, we are going to have Russ on the show talking about all this stuff, how he grew the Digital Marketer blog. Well, he's got amazing experience before he came to Digital Marketer with big, big successful companies, but you know how he took them from zero to 100,000 visitors a month and a lot more now. But if you're listening out there right now and you have no clue, like you don't have a Russ to ask these questions to, and you have a client that you manage campaigns for and you have no clue about their market, what's the best tools? Like what's an exercise they can do to find the information out?
So, you know, Audience Insights is great on Facebook. That's in your ads manager. So if you have picked out, you know, a few different interests that you really know are specific to your audience. Again, you know, going back to the blogging example, you know, we want to target maybe something like Blogger, which is a blogging platform, a blogging service, versus WordPress. Bloggers might use WordPress, but a lot of people like WordPress on Facebook, right? Anyone from developers to CEOs, to people who don't even really do anything on the computer, but WordPress is such a big brand and such a big name that they have a big following. WordPress would be a bad interest to target when I'm trying to specifically reach bloggers because it's too big. So really thinking about these specific interests that would only pertain to the market that you're really looking for. My market would read this book, but no one else would read this book, right? Or my market would attend this event, right? My market would attend Traffic and Conversion Summit, but no one else would attend that event. So really thinking specifically and using tools like Audience Insights on Facebook to plug in a few of those interests that you know are really specific to your audience, and then allowing Facebook, leveraging their own data to say, okay, well, if you're looking at these few interests, here are other interests that are most related to those that you just input into Audience Insights. So once you have a few and you start to find these people and these interests, you can use Audience Insights to find more interests most like the ones that you've already selected. You can also use, you know, stuff like Amazon we were talking about on the last episode. That's a great place to do research on your audience. But really with Facebook, Audience Insights was a game changer. You're able to input some specific information and Facebook's going to tell you what other pages they're most likely to follow. And that allows you to find other interests to target, and especially other interests to target for scale.
And I think there's a caveat to that, though, too, is that, well, this is one of the examples I always use, and I stole directly from you. Thanks, Molly, by the way, because when we're on calls onboarding clients, I think about this and I say, well, all right, let's say hypothetically you're in the golfing niche.
Yeah.
And, you know, you are selling a certain piece of equipment or maybe a software or something that only golfers, really true avid golfers, would ever buy from you. So you go into Audience Insights and you say, okay, golf related, who's the biggest golfer? Tiger Woods. So I'd use Tiger Woods as my interest. No, you wouldn't, because Tiger Woods is a celebrity.
Yeah, he's an international celebrity.
He's an international celebrity and not a very good golfer right now, but that's beside the point. But for a true golfer, yeah.
Maybe.
Let's hope not. Guys like Bubba Watson, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia. I mean, stuff like that, like those other players that only golfers would know, true golfers, not people who are just interested in the celebrity per se. So you've got to get it to your example. WordPress is okay if you're a blogger, but it's way too broad. So you'd have to get into something really specific that only bloggers would really know about. And I think through your interview with Russ, you probably found that out pretty quickly, but also Audience Insights can give you some pretty good insights there as well.
You can even go obviously deeper than that, like, you know, down to equipment. And then these equipment have big followings like TaylorMade and Ping and things like that. So like, you know, magazines that people read, Golf Digest, Golf Magazine.
That's the difference between targeting someone who probably plays golf once a week and buys, you know, golf related products multiple times a year versus targeting someone who turns on the Masters once a year and buys nothing related to golf. So that's how important this is.
Let's say you're using Audience Insights and we're on the blogging example. And let's say you find out that one of the authorities in your market is, let's say you put copy blogger or maybe social media examiner in there. And when you do that, the really powerful thing about it is that inside Audience Insights, they've got six tabs. You can put in a Facebook page. You can put in literally your website custom audiences. If you've got enough data in there, you can use your own audiences, your own Facebook fans. And Facebook will spit out data to the right. And they've got six tabs, which are demographics, page likes, location, activity, household, and purchase. Where we normally start, where you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck, the most leverage right off the bat, is really using that second tab, is the page likes tab. And at the top half of the page, they're going to spit out a bunch of categories that are related to that interest that you put in there. And then below that, they're going to have the page like data that are the most relevant and have the highest affinity score. Then as you're running your campaign, you're going to start taking the data that you get from reporting and start to find out the interests that are really, you know, that are giving you the best results. And then you can start plugging more, you know, different kind of entries in there and start to find out what else it spits out.
The best thing about this is that Facebook is actually telling you what you should target. Now, you can certainly go to Google, you can go to Amazon, you can just use just regular research that you know about your audience. But Facebook is actually telling you how they gather, what is it, 2,000 data points, and every piece of data that they've got, at least as of last month, is probably up to 3,000 now, but it's getting smarter constantly. So Audience Insights is getting smarter and smarter and smarter almost every single day. The more people put in data, the more people are on Facebook an average of 14 times a day. This thing is super smart. So just the block and tackle of it, when you're in your ads manager, click on Audience Insights and then go down the left-hand side. There's a little interests box and plug in some of those initial interests that you think your ideal avatar would be interested in. And then that page likes tab, like he said, is super helpful. But below that, there's relevance and affinity, and you can actually sort by both. And you can get different types of results. For those of you who have perhaps maybe large email lists, you know, it's got to be fairly large for Audience Insights, but this could be a potential game changer. If you've got an audience list of, or like a lead list, or maybe a customer list, you can upload that as a CSV file into Audience Insights, and it will spit out data about those people that are on your list, targets, interests that they're interested in. These are people that are already potential leads and or customers of yours. So that list has got to be pretty large. Most times it doesn't work, but if it is large enough, or maybe you can group a couple of lists together, you can get unbelievable targeting data that really sets you on the right foot. You know, it doesn't matter, because I mean, the best offer, the best blog post, the best content that we've talked about in the first few episodes here at Perpetual Traffic doesn't mean anything unless you can get it in front of the right audience. And I think this is a super important step that a lot of people kind of gloss over, but spend a lot of time inside Audience Insights because it's filled with a wealth of data.
People focus on their ad copy and their images, which are very important. But again, think, if you're not putting those in front of the right people, your campaign isn't going to work. So be really specific. And again, you don't have to use the answers to all of those questions as the interest that you target, but think about which of these questions relate the most to my audience. Just like I was saying with blogging, the different software and blogging platforms and the different authority figures in the market, those are both very important to blogging, and that's really where we started, and from there scaled out campaigns that some of them have been running for, you know, 8 or 9 months now.
Yeah, it's true. One of the smartest things I've ever heard is actually I was talking to someone about this. They actually went out and they interviewed their best customers, their 10 best customers, and they recorded all the conversations. And then they used those interests and that profile for their interests to start their Facebook ads campaign. But even better, by knowing that avatar, they knew exactly how to speak to them in their ad copy. So their ads were that much more effective. So, I mean, they were, as soon as they saw the ad copy in their own words of that avatar, the ads were even more effective. So think about it in that way as well, because you are going to have to write some ads here on top of this. But, you know, as much as you can do up front with research about who your ideal avatar is, I think the better off you're going to have success.
And I'll give you a little hack in case you don't have that. Like if you don't have those customers that you can interview and you don't have the data as far as exactly who your avatar is or what their biggest pains and fears and frustrations are. Hopefully you do. You've been working on this, on, you know, up to this point. But one little kind of hack is you can go into Amazon and search for products and books, you know, that your audience might buy that's related to that somehow. If you click into a specific product or book, it'll show customers who bought this also bought that, right? It'll show frequently bought together things. It'll show product ads. And those are all great for thinking of, you know, coming up with more ideas. But if you dig deeper and go read the customer questions and answers and the customer reviews, that's going to actually tell you a lot. You can actually learn a lot about your audience. You can find out what people are ticked off about, like what are the things that they want to get figured out, and also the things that they're excited about. So you can look at the 5-star reviews and the 1, 2, and 3-star reviews, and then the question and the answers. That right there, if you don't have access to all this, is actually can really, really help you in a big way.
Yeah, just create lists and lists of possible, you know, targeting options. And, you know, if some of them don't work, I have more to reach to. So definitely the more options you have, as long as they're specific, it will help with finding the right interest to target and with scaling.
And while we're on that topic, one of the other places that I love to find potential interests that can sometimes have issues is go into the Facebook search and type in pages liked by people who like, and then let's just say, you know, digital marketer. Okay. And you can put your page if you have enough fans on there. You can put your competitors, you can put the authority figures, all those types of things, right? And the crazy thing is you'll get different data sometimes in the Facebook search than you will with Audience Insights. The other thing that you can do in Facebook search that you cannot do in Audience Insights is you can search pages liked by people who like Digital Marketer and Infusionsoft, okay? It's an and relations instead of an or relation. And you'll see different results come up, and you cannot do that in Audience Insights. With Facebook search, Facebook tries to make the results related to your search, but also they try to show pages that a majority of your friends also like. So it can really skew the results if you don't have any friends related to that topic. But that doesn't mean that you should totally not use Facebook search, because I think if you don't use it, you're really missing out on a lot of results. And then when you go into the ads manager, like let's say you're in the Power Editor or you're in the Facebook ads manager and you're creating a campaign, you can use Facebook's suggested interest. So if I put in digital marketer as a target audience, Facebook will now spit out the, you know, suggested interest related to that. So go out there, you know, after this episode and pick, you know, an audience that's got a fairly large size. And if you go and you search pages liked by people who like that audience in the search, and then if you start to create an ad and you put in that audience in the targeting inside the ads manager and you watch the 5 or 6 suggested interests, and then if you go into Audience Insights and you use that same interest, each one of those will all spit out slightly different data. Does that mean that any one of those is wrong? Not necessarily. It just means there's so much data out there and there's so many possible interests. You've got to do the research and you've got to use the different phases and not just one thing to do your research.
And it's not an exact science. And I think this is actually sort of a good segue into, you know, audience sizes and what the ideal audience size is. Because plenty of times we'll do all this research and we'll say, all right, we've got a great list of interests. We're going to test 20 different interests individually. That's typically the way that we'll start off somebody, especially if they don't really have much of a history on Facebook. But then we'll realize that maybe some of those interests that we saw or thought were really ninja interests all of a sudden are really small. So that suggestions tool inside the ads manager and also inside the Power Editor is super helpful to be able to lump really similar, super similar interests together to bring your audience size up, because The smaller your audience size, I mean, depending on where you're at, obviously this is different for everybody, for a local business, for a national company, or for an international business. You typically want to get to a certain size. So those suggestions are really helpful because oftentimes they won't show up inside Audience Insights. So then I'll go back to my spreadsheet and I'll look at it and I'm like, that one never showed up anywhere else, but it's extremely similar to the interest that I put in. So that's how we'll tend to kind of add to a specific interest. So the audience size is, for at least for us, we try and make it so that's 100,000 in that audience or more. Now, if you're a local business, that's going to be very different. Everything is variable based upon this. And then we'll typically go up to about 1.5 million, maybe 2 million, depending on sort of how we feel about it. Maybe narrow down the demographics based upon our avatar, once again, because we know who the customer is. So that's how we'll start things. So that suggestions inside Ads Manager is really super helpful. It's something that we add in kind of right at the last second, but Facebook's telling us, hey, you think that Social Media Examiner is a good interest. Well, also, here's all these other things that are related to that, but maybe we didn't show that to you inside Audience Insights. So that's a great tool to use.
And if you look, like I'm doing a search right now with, I got Ryan Dice and Audience Insights. I've got Ryan Dice inside the Ads Manager for the interest, and I've got Ryan Dice for the pages liked by people who like Ryan Dice. And inside Audience Insights, the top 10 that show up for page like data is Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Robert Kiyosaki, John Assaroff. Those types are more, it's kind of like more leadership style. Okay, and then if you look inside the Ads Manager, you've got things like Frank Kern, Eben Pagan, Mike Filsaime, Onyx Segal, Ed Dale, Joel Kalm, Amy Porterfield, much more, I think more a little bit more related to Ryan Dice. And then inside the Facebook search, you've got Frank Kern, Tim Ferriss, Perry Marshall, Seth Godin, Rich Sheffern, Gary Vaynerchuk, Mark Smith, Tony Robbins. So all three of those all have different results, and all you need to get that data from all three.
Yeah, and try lots of things out. But what we typically do with a new client is we'll do a really in-depth deep dive analysis, obviously, after our client onboarding call. And then we'll go through their interest based on their avatar and then pick what we think are probably the 20 best and then test them at small budgets, typically starting with a like campaign or maybe a content campaign or maybe right to a lead campaign. So it depends on what the client is, and test those individual interests. Some of them are smaller, so we can't really scale with it, but at least that'll give us an idea as to what type of interest would succeed with this particular offer, blog post, whatever it happens to be. So, and oftentimes 8 out of 10 of those will be total dogs. So how do you do it, Mal?
Yeah. So Ralph just said, select 20 of them, right? I think that's a great way to go about it. Usually what we'll do is, we'll create different ad sets off of, 20 to 50 interests. We'll create as many ad sets necessary. We'll hit about 500,000 to 1 million potential reach in each ad set. That's just really been what we found is the sweet spot. But it's really, really important. You know, if you can do 100,000 or even, 500,000 people in an ad set, that's great because you're not going to get a false negative and you're not going to get a false positive. You're also going to allow for a lot of scale for yourself, which is very, very important. But, say you've created an ad set and you're inputting your interests and you're thinking, I've got 2 million people in this ad set already. What should I do? And, that's definitely too big to start with. And you should scroll through all of the interests, find the biggest one that you have and remove that, right? Usually if the interest is bigger, it's probably not as specific as we need it to be. So start removing the interests by, the largest ones first. I've found that that always works the best, and it allows us to remove those interests that might not be as specific as we need them to. If you're creating an ad set and it's too small, then we need to go back to Audience Insights and we need to input the interests that we've already entered and find some others. You'll also also figure out when you are setting up ad sets, once you enter one or two different interests, Facebook will start suggesting other interests that are most related to those that you've already entered. They have sort of a little autocomplete search going on there. So that's another great way to find other interests to really get you up to a reasonable audience size. So whether you want to split all the interests into different ad sets like Keith and Ralph do and figure out which ones work, if you want to start with, you know, maybe 5 to 10 in an ad set and make sure you're hitting 500,000 to 1 million, the key really is just that you're doing it and you're doing the research and you're finding the interests that are most related and you're getting your message in front of them, right? That's the most important part. The rest of it is sort of small details that will work themselves out. If you've done the research and you found the right interest to target and you've really found your audience, they're going to respond.
I'm looking at a campaign right now inside our ads manager. I started with 23 ad sets, thinking I was brilliant with 23. I thought these were all great audiences. There's 5 left that I just wrote out because all the other ones just didn't resonate, which is okay. I mean, we pull the trigger on them really quickly, basically 2x our cost per lead, you know, so that we don't spend any more than we need to. So we can say, all right, at least we gave it a fair shot, but it's just not turning the way that we want it to. So failure is a part of this process. And I think everybody sort of thinks of, you know, people who do this professionally as, oh, they always get it right. There's absolutely no way we always get it right. Because when we're going into something, unless we absolutely know who the avatar is, like in Keith's case, you know, he's been running ads for Dominate Web Media for quite some time. He knows who that avatar is. But for us, when we're starting out, and if you're starting out on Facebook, a lot of your initial tries are just not going to work. So accept that as part of the process, learn from it, reduce your downside risk by pausing those ad campaigns and then moving forward and figuring out what does work. So, and that's how you scale stuff up. And that's how you at least reach some initial success with Facebook with interest targeting.
Let's talk about another question that I know people out there are thinking about. We get this question a lot, is what interests show up in the ad manager? So if I'm doing all this research and I see all these audiences, yeah, like, wow, this looks like a perfect audience.
Why aren't they showing up?
Yeah, why aren't they showing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We found that if we'll make a list of interests that we want to target, we find that Facebook actually is indexing or allowing you to target probably half of them. So that's why this research is even more important, is really, really make that list and do your homework, because, you know, unfortunately, not all of them are going to show up. And, you know, I don't know why it's that way, but it is. And it's just part of the job. So keep that in mind and really keep in mind. That's why audience insights is also important, because you got to find other interests when the ones that you want to target aren't appearing.
One of the things that we do, and we do find that there's specific interests that are working, is that we'll keep those ad sets going with those individual interests, but then we'll just duplicate the ad set and then create another ad set with all those interests bunched together, sometimes in a separate campaign, and see how they do. So you keep your windows running. You know, you let the, what is it that Perry Belcher says? You know, feed the stallion, starve the ponies. So you're pushing forward still with the stuff that's working, but you're bunching together the ones that are working and maybe in a different campaign so that you can leverage that and see which works, see which actually gets you closer to your end result, whether it's you're promoting a blog post, whether you're going for, you know, trying to get a lead, whether you're trying to get a like, you know, depending on where you are at inside your campaign or what your objective is, there's always ways to do it. But the more you try different things and then reduce your downside risk by pausing stuff that doesn't work. And I can't stress that enough. We pause a ton of stuff, but then we scale up in a very sort of strategic way. But most of the stuff that we try initially, especially with clients, because we don't really know their avatar, and neither do they on Facebook, we do pause. But there's ways to kind of leverage that and then go back into audience insights again, take your best 3 interests, plug those back into audience insights, get more potential targets that you can then target, and then test those. And it's a constant iterative process.
The key takeaway is to basically get inside, you know, use these tools and start doing the research, create your spreadsheet, start copy and pasting.
Yeah, get in the head of whoever you're trying to sell to. And if you do that and you put your message in front of them, you will win.
All right. So over the last few minutes, we've talked about how to find your exact target market and how to really think about what they are most interested in. And on previous episodes, we've talked about that you want to create content that people will want to consume so you can build that goodwill and build that trust. And over the next couple episodes, we've got some great guests coming on board. We're going to have, like I said, Russ coming on. We've got people like Derek Halpern and some other amazing guests that are going to show you the best way to create captivating content, content that people want to read, content that builds a loyal following of rabid fans, okay? And of course, we're showing you how to really create a machine and turn those loyal, rabid followers and fans into customers. And that's the whole theme of the Perpetual Traffic Podcast.
It's like we merge content marketing with paid advertising. It's like that's really kind of what the whole thing does.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, it's like right. It's the intersection of those two worlds.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this traffic system and how to find your market, you know, but we talked about sending traffic first to content. So you got to figure out how to create that content and especially how to create content that appeals to the right people. So that's really what we're going to cover.
So please stay tuned and watch out for the next few episodes. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.